Welcome to another episode in the DistressedPro.com professional podcast series, where we bring you actionable information from successful professionals on the front lines of today's real estate market. Go now to www.distressedpro.com/mini to get your free 14-part course, where you'll learn what the pros already know about how to source today's best REO and note deals. And now, here's our show.
Welcome everybody back again to another episode of the DistressedPro.com professional podcast series. I'm really happy again to have somebody back on our show who's been on once or twice before. I know we've done a webinar and we've done a call. His name is Chris Urso. He is the president and founder of National Reese. And I'm going to ask him to introduce himself in a minute. But he is a guy who, what I want to tell you that he's going to share with us tonight is how he is thinking about and talking about goal setting for 2013. And we're really pretty lucky to have him on today. He has some folks who were on a call with him, I don't know if it was just yesterday, who got a very similar talk, who have made a real investment in themselves in getting coaching with Chris. And he is here. I'm going to give it up for us for free. And all you got to do is tune in. And I hope that you'll, at the end, he'll give us an opportunity to get in touch with him, and I hope that you'll reach out and just thank him for taking his time to do this. So with that, Chris, thanks very much, and welcome to the show again.
Awesome, Breck. Thank you so much for having me. It's always fun to speak to your group, and we appreciate the opportunity, as you know, from one Northeaster to another.
That's right. So just for those who maybe have missed a couple of our prior programs, can you just give us, you know, sort of your elevator pitch on what it is that you do?
Sure. We're basically National Reese, National Real Estate Investment Solutions. We founded, we're about 5 years young now. And our core focus, we're a private real estate investment and education company with everything focused around small to mid-sized multifamily. Our investment arm is done under URS Capital Partners, URS Capital Partners, in which we go out and we identify, you know, small to mid-sized multifamily opportunities in various markets throughout the country. We secure them, we acquire them, we bring in passive investors to work with us. We've raised a little over $8 million to date to fund those acquisitions, both with private money and conventional financing. We've acquired about $6 million of apartments in the last 2.5 years. That's our core focus, is buying apartment buildings from 20 units upwards to 200 units. In about the last year and a half, we've had the opportunity to work with a lot of those investors that wanted to get a little bit more active, and we've built what's called our Elite Partner Program. It's, you know, a very high-level coaching program, again, that is solely focused with working with individuals that want to succeed in multifamily real estate. You know, we don't talk about flipping houses or wholesales, backflips, short sales, or anything else. Mm-hmm. It's all lasered in on helping people go out and acquire apartment buildings successfully, intelligently, well thought out plans. And we're now up to about 30 active members of that community, and you know, we're having a lot of fun doing it. Our students are having a blast, and we're just forging relationships that we feel are going to last, you know, a lifetime.
At cool. this point. That's awesome. And I would really recommend that anybody who's listening to this now, and if that sounds like what you want your business to look like, I'd recommend a couple of things. One is to go back into some of the archives that we have out there and listen to two previous shows, watch the previous webinar that we did with Chris. And then the second one would be to go to your website and look into it a little more there. So let's do this. Did you have something planned for us for the goal setting?
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly, this is really amazing timing. We did a webinar literally today, a couple hours ago, to our students, just
great,
all about planning for the year ahead and, you know, what to focus on and how to go about jump-starting the year off the right way, because this is the time of year to obviously do it, to reflect on what you did in the last 12 months and then plan ahead for the next 12.
Yeah.
If you want to talk about the opportunities that we see in the marketplace, I'm happy to do that.
Well, let's do that. What do you see in 2013? I was just chatting with somebody else. This recording may or may not come out before or after the other one, but I was just chatting with somebody else about 2013 predictions, and I know you're laser focused on multifamily. Tell me what you see in that market.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been a sexy topic of late in the last year or so.
Sure.
And that's because we believe is the most fundamentally sound asset class out there when you're talking about real estate. Just the demographics behind it are so strong, and it's common sense investing in my eyes.
Yeah.
It's really, you don't have to overcomplicate it. We're seeing anywhere from, I'd say, 20 units upwards to, you know, a couple hundred unit plus apartment complexes from all classes, C, B, A. I mean, we focus on C to B class assets, pretty much working class communities that are in good submarkets within the cities that we're focusing on. But the deals are out there. We're seeing a lot of opportunity in kind of the 50 and under. Our students are 50 units and under. We're more focused on 80 units to 200 units.
Okay.
But, you know, in these areas that are in big cities, in decent, you know, submarkets within those cities, people are buying stuff, I mean, for crazy, crazy numbers that you can't even think about. 20 units for, you know, $200,000, 40 units for $250,000. And these are still remnants of the high levels of debt that were placed on these things 5 years ago that are now coming due and can't be refinanced.
Right.
You know, demographics, listen, I think multifamily is not in a boom or bust cycle right now. I think you look at the trends, and we have another 5, 10, 15 years of really strong demand for apartments. And the rent growth's been outrageous, you know, in the last year, and it's expected to continue at, you know, levels of 2, 3, 4, 5% in some markets for several years. So our opportunities are focused on C to B class, working class communities, to where it's, you put out a good product and people are not going to be able to buy a home for several years to come because of the lack of credit available. So you put out a good product, you service them well, and you should stay well occupied.
Yeah, you're echoing
so low.
You're echoing a lot of what I'm hearing from some of the folks that I'm talking directly with out there in the market. And so what does that mean to you then, with this sort of view that you have for the short term, maybe, you know, the next 12 months, as well as the longer term? What does that mean then that you're doing, or you're advising other folks do, in terms of how they're viewing their business, or the, in terms of the, probably even better would be if we could talk a little bit about maybe some specific steps or actions or goals that they could set or that they could take.
Sure. I mean, one thing that we, I mean, for us as a core business, our goal on the table is pretty simple for 2013.
Okay.
You know, is to acquire two apartment communities ranging anywhere from $3 to $8 million.
Okay.
In well-located submarkets that we could put attractive financing on. I mean, interest rates, we just got quoted on a refinance of a building that we own free and clear with private money. We're getting a $1 million loan, non-recourse, for 4.1%.
Wow.
Fixed for 10 years, amortized over 30.
Wow.
So, I mean, we want to take advantage of that, which is why we're looking more in the $3 to $8 million space. So we can, you know, leverage ourselves and our investors into larger deals and secure these low interest rates.
So are you seeing a balloon in 10, or it's 10 years fixed and you can carry it the full 30 if it makes sense at that time?
No, those are balloons in 10, but they're fully amortizing.
Okay.
So you are paying principal. It's not interest only.
Okay.
They're fully amortized over 30 years.
Okay.
Now, I will tell you what we're focusing, a lot of our students are focusing on, and we're advising them to. We work with mostly, you know, anywhere from 25 to 60 years old. They're 60 plus. They're all over the map.
Yeah.
But a common thread is that we've ingrained in them, you know, this is a long-term approach. We don't preach flipping apartment buildings, wholesaling apartment buildings. It's buy good assets that we can put good debt on and build equity over time, to where I don't care what the market does. If I did my diligence, buying a good property. A lot of our students are focusing on properties ranging in size from 20 to 40 units that they can put debt on today. We have a relationship with a national lender that's lending on apartments up to $500,000 loans. They're putting 15-year fixed-rate mortgages on them. And that's amazing when you're talking about a $600,000 apartment building that you can put down 25%, bring in a couple of partners, whatever the case may be, put it on a 15-year mortgage that's fixed for 15. That asset's completely paid off in 15 years. Now you have a $700,000-$800,000 asset by that time, you know, with inflation, and that's being conservative.
Sure.
That's owned free and clear. Where else can you do that for $150,000 or $180,000 investment?
Well, so let's talk about submarkets, because it's one thing to say that you want to be in good submarkets, but what does that mean?
We focus on the overall market has to be positive in terms of trends for employment. It's got to be trending upward for employment, obviously downward for unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
We want to see stable to modest growth in population trends, a diverse employment base, and then we look for the little niches around the major, the central business districts, pretty much the CBDs.
Okay.
That we can focus in on, such as like the blue-collar working-class communities, where it's got a more attainable entry point as opposed to the prime downtown location that we might be priced out of.
Yeah.
But we're still going to benefit from those fundamentals of that major metro.
So if you're talking to people, are your students or the folks that you're coaching, are they also setting goals for acquisitions for this year?
Yeah, a big thing that we spoke about today was, you know, four key elements that we touched on was moving into the new year, sit down and hammer out and get clear on these 4 points: education, deals, relationships, and execution. You know, when I sat down to put this webinar together, I said, obviously you can do 10 hours on planning and goal setting and all this fluffy stuff. I said, what can we hone in on and that I felt was most important for them to focus on, and for ourselves too, to be quite frank. We have our own coaches in our business still.
So let's give those to me one more time then. So the four things that you're asking them to focus in on in terms of setting real goals are on education and what else?
Education, yeah. Deals, relationships, and execution.
And so what does that mean in practice?
Sure. So for example, education, right?
Mm-hmm.
Put down on paper a plan for yourself to do one thing per day that will further your knowledge in real estate. Seems broad-based, but if you execute that on a daily basis, you're going to pick something up that you didn't know already that's going to potentially change how you look at the next deal or how you find the next market. And that could be as simple as reading industry trade articles specific to your niche.
Yep. And so what are you... I'm sorry, I keep talking over you.
No, I'm sorry, guys.
I apologize.
I'm fired up. I feel like I'm doing a webinar again.
No, I think it's great. I mean, for me, around Thanksgiving comes and I really start thinking about, you know, the last 11 and a half months or whatever that I've had, or 10 and a half or whatever it is, and how I've done. And of course, finances make a, you know, play a huge part in that. There's other things too, you know, especially with a growing family. I think about in terms of goals, where we want to be and all that. And so I'm really interested in diving into this with you. I have over the years, and I've always been a student of all the success literature that I'm sure that you've heard of, the Think and Grow Rich and all that, you know, sort of thing. And I have a lot of those principles. And so again, when I get to this time of the year, I really start thinking about, well, how did I do and what am I going to do next year? And, but not only that, how am I going to think about what I'm going to do next year so that I can make sure that I do it? And so it's, so that's a part of why I'm just really excited to have you on here today. So I like that you break the education down into, you know, an actionable thing that you can do, small bites that you can do. And that's kind of a recurring theme that I've been hearing also, but that you can do and you can measure. What are folks setting for deal goals? Are we talking about a single, well, I guess it depends on how many deals they have already, or, you know, maybe you can tell me a little bit about that.
Absolutely. I mean, for deals, it's twofold. You know, for your existing deals, it's being laser focused on the performance of those properties, right? Having the systems in place on a weekly, monthly basis to be knowing what you're doing and tracking it, right? Like you said, if you don't track it, you can't gauge it. You don't know how you did.
Exactly.
So making sure that you have the system in place that you're leveraging to track your existing deals. But for most people, it's about being focused on what you're looking for. So, you know, obviously our niche is multifamily, so we're hammering in. That means you're not going to look at that strip center. You're not going to look at that industrial plaza that the broker is telling you is going to be the deal of your lifetime. You have to have the discipline to say, I'm not going to vary from my strategy.
Right.
Our business approach is not volume. It's not about doing volume. It's not about doing 20 deals in a year. It's about taking a consistent, calculated approach to find the right 1 to 2 deals a year that you need to do. And you don't need to do 5 deals with this business model to be successful and to have a major impact on your life. So we're telling people to stay focused on what you're looking for within the space and look at more deals. Like, you have to always be looking at deals. You can't get hung up. guy.
Is there something that somebody can do outside of trawling through LoopNet or CoStar or whatever? Is there something that somebody can make for an actual action step where they can say, I'm going to do X, you know, this number of times per week or month in order to turn over rocks so that I can find the kind of deals you're talking about?
Well, one of the things would be to sign up for distresspro.com.
That's kind of a layup, but
yeah, that was an easy one. But we're big on, and this ties into, you know, the next thing that we're talking about, which is relationships.
Yeah,
we've built out an industry resource list over the last 3 years that's about 200 plus people, and that's brokers, property managers, attorneys, title companies, insurance guys, that we develop a plan to contact and market to them much differently than I would to my private investors. This is more deal focused. Stay in their face, pick up the phone and call them. Get outside of hiding behind email in today's world.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have and build this list of professionals that you consistently have an approach to reach out to, because it's all about timing, as you know, in this business.
For sure.
You know, you pick up the phone and you're calling that same broker once or twice a month. He knows you're serious and you're not giving him a chance to send his next deal to someone else.
Right.
Or even put it on LoopNet yet, because you're there and you're in his face and you're reminding him in a tasteful way, of course, of what you're looking for.
Yeah.
A big thing that we, you know, enforce is tracking your deals that you're looking at. And that's a piece that I think a lot of people miss. It's easy to, like you said, to get on LoopNet or CoStar and just email away and request broker packages all day long.
Sure.
But you have to pick up the phone, engage the listing broker, because it's not about the deal that he has listed on LoopNet. It's about the two or three deals that he has internally in his office.
Mm-hmm.
And then getting those in an organized fashion. I mean, we review our pipeline once a week, our team, for the deals that we're looking at. And what that does is it allows us to stay in touch with the listing brokers or the sellers directly or the banks that have the properties where they might not be ready to sell today. But if I'm not tracking that pipeline, we literally found one of the deals we recently closed on about a year ago, we tracked for a year and a half. And it was at $1.4 million when the deal started.
Mm-hmm.
And we closed on it at a million.
Wow.
And that was 18 months later. And that property now is just, that's the one we're refinancing, is valued at about 1.7. We repositioned it, re-tenanted it, and we would have never gotten that opportunity if we didn't have a mechanism in place to consistently reach out to the listing broker.
You know, I'm glad you bring up relationships, because so many times in this business, I hear from folks who they're looking for the easy button, the big red easy button, and they want to give that thing a punch and out comes a deal. And that's just not the way it is. Business doesn't work like that. And so I'm thrilled that you're talking about relationships. It's a drum that I beat consistently. And a lot, you know, I'll hear from folks all the time who are, you know, they're looking for like the magic off-market list of things. I've never seen one of those. Have you?
That's why when I had to figure out the four things to talk about, that this was one of them.
Yeah.
Because that's been the biggest impact in our life, in our personal life and our professional, you know, life.
Yeah.
Is the people that we've developed relationships with.
Right.
I mean, what we put on here, you know, obviously the important ones of the brokers, the bankers, the property managers, your private investor list, your like-minded individuals, that whatever communities you're a part of. You have to develop those contact lists, and they're separate and independent from one another. How are you going to communicate with them? A simple goal that we put on there for people to do on a weekly basis is to literally sit down on Sunday and say, how many people am I going to speak to this week that's going to help me get closer to my goal? And if my goal is to raise money, it's going to be how many investors am I going to talk to? If it's to find my next deal, how many brokers, how many bankers, how many attorneys, property managers am I going to talk to this week to get there, to uncover that deal? Because that's how it happens. I mean, you know that better than anyone, I'm sure.
Well, I don't know about better than anyone, but certainly I agree with you. And so one of the things that I could hear somebody saying there is they're listening to us, or maybe that, you know, I can smell them thinking it, is how many is enough? If I'm sitting down on Sunday, you know, should I be contacting 5? Do I need to talk to 10 this week? Do you have some guidelines or rules of thumb that you promote or that you adhere to yourself in terms of your volume of outbound activity for communication like that?
You know, from a deal perspective, that's a good point. We cast a wide net. We're active in probably 8 or 9 markets, so obviously our resource list is a little bit more extensive.
Yeah.
But for somebody starting out and honing in on a market, it's going to be maybe 3 to 5 people a week.
Yeah.
And it might be sometimes the same ones just recurring on a monthly basis, like
sure.
you said. You know, it's almost just as important. But as you know, through the Distress Pro world, I mean, you can peel off in an MSA. I'm sure there's probably 30 institutions, local or regional, that you can start with.
Right.
And you have to remind yourself why you're doing this and pick up the phone. You know, if it's make more cash flow in your life to secure your future or retirement or your kids, and that's why you should be picking up the phone. You know, that's what we tell people. Remember why you wanted to do this business.
That is a big important thing. I mean, there's the one thing is the how, and we're talking a little bit about the how, you know, and all that. But the why, and it's almost cliche, I guess, depending on how much you pay attention to this sort of, you know, success literature or whatever. But it is the why really is the thing, because it does get hard. And if it's a big enough goal, and it's not easy, it's not supposed to be easy. If it was easy, everybody would have it.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, to be able to keep going, you've got to keep that why up there in front of you. And if you don't have it, I think you kind of dig deep and figure out what it is before you
get started.
Yeah, because you're not going to be effective otherwise.
That's how we ended our webinar today, was basically the one thing to take away before you start any of this is to just take 10 minutes for some people, 5 minutes for others, maybe an hour for others.
Yeah.
And just put down on paper why you want to be successful in this business.
Right. Yeah, I have a sort of a framework that I maybe I'll do it my own. I'll do a call. I'll interview myself and talk about the framework that I use for that. But I do. I have a framework for that, for thinking about that. And, you know, the other thing that I wanted to bring up that you just talked about here was in terms of activity and your setting your goals for your outbound contacts and contacting the same person repeatedly. I can't tell you how many times I've had a Distress Pro member sign up or, you know, get started, and it's always someone new in the business, because if you weren't new in the business,
yeah.
then it wouldn't happen. But, you know, 30 days later, they say to me, "This doesn't work. This doesn't work." 30 days. What are your thoughts on that in terms of your how long you would commit to something or how many times you would contact somebody and all that?
It's so true. I mean, the first thing I do is tell people, like, you're not going to win your first bid that you bid on. You know,
yeah.
You're not going to win the first deal that you look at. I mean, you may, the one in a million shot, you know, that it's just all the stars align.
Yeah.
The first broker you call is not going to call you back immediately.
Right.
Or give you the best deal. I mean,
or banker.
It is such, you know, exactly. Broker,
yeah.
banker, whatever.
Right.
I don't want to sound rude, but we won't even work with somebody at the level that we work with people.
Yeah.
You know, if that's their mindset coming in. It's coming in knowing that our goal is within 12 months for you to do a deal. But know that it may not happen in 12 months. It may be 13, but you have to have the wherewithal to stick this out and keep implementing, because we know it will happen.
Yeah.
And if you're the type that's going to say, you know what, it's month 13, I'm done, it didn't work, then this isn't the right thing for you.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, this is not. We just worked 2 months on a deal, on a bank deal, that we were one of two remaining bidders on, and we got outbid.
Sure.
You know how many hours my partner put in underwriting, our property managers toured the properties,
oh, yeah.
and market surveys on 252 units? It's a lot of work.
I've heard
we
someone
know
say
that, we have to do that.
That 95% of your time in this business is wasted. It's the other 5% that makes you rich.
Yeah, that is true.
You know, and the other thing was, we're talking about contacting people a number of times. And so as you're setting your goals and you're thinking about how often you're going to pick up the phone, and, you know, one of the concepts for realtors in terms of realtor marketing and generating a base is to have a farm. And so you'll have a farm of, you know, prospects or contacts who you will, they will hear from you on a very regular basis. They'll hear from you at least once, you know, a month at least. And so I think that anybody who's listening to this, hopefully you're thinking that way, and you're not thinking, I'm going to go crazy and, you know, pound on the phone and make 100 calls a
yeah.
day for the first, you know, month, and then, you know, go shoot yourself because you're going to quit in February. So,
you know, we say at least monthly, and, you know, yeah. for sellers, because we do, some of our students do, and we're getting into it, do direct mail
yeah.
to building owners.
Sure.
And, I mean, that's a rule of thumb with direct mail. You have
I've had huge success with direct mail. The best deals I've ever done were through direct mail.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
That's great. I mean, but you know, then it's got to, you have to mail to that same person at least three times.
You do.
You know, a 90-day sequence.
Yeah.
And one thing that we say is try to add 100 new leads to that every 90 days.
Sure.
And that could be in multiple markets that you can have that going. But, yeah, that's at least three times for that world. And, you know, and our brokers, bankers, everybody else, it gets mailed to at least once a month.
Right. So make an education goal, something that you can take action on a regular basis and that's measurable. Focus on your deals. Decide exactly what you're going after. Don't be looking around at shiny objects and staring out the window. Focus on relationships. Put together a list and focus on contacting that list on a very regular basis, on whether that's by, probably it's both by phone and maybe
Absolutely.
By direct mail and so on. What's the next thing?
Yeah, there is one more. But one thing on the communication side and relationships, you know, I mean, obviously you and I use Infusionsoft, which is a very robust platform
yeah.
that we don't encourage most people starting out
no.
to use.
Yeah.
But a lot of our students are using, they use MailChimp.
Sure.
You know, it's a free service. It does really well. It looks professional. You can set up, you know, it's automated. It's clean. You can segment out your groups. You know, these are great ways to get things kind of invest the time up front to set it up.
Yeah.
And then it'll make your life easier and more consistent as you move forward.
And don't be afraid to lick a stamp.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
One of the biggest tools we use for brokers, bankers, is after a phone call, I'll open up my desk, handwritten note, goes in the mail tomorrow. Thank you so much for your time. Please keep us in mind.
Yeah.
That guarantees me a second touch with him within 5 to 7 days.
Right.
And that should sit on his desk then for a little bit as well.
Right.
The last thing is really, you know, the execution part, you know, and that starts with, kind of goes hand in hand in what we were just saying, but it's about investing the time up front to be really clear about what you want to accomplish.
Yeah.
If you don't know what you want to accomplish, there's no sense in doing all these other things.
Right.
And then develop, we're big on a written plan, and I say that very, very loosely and informally. I'm
mm-hmm.
not a big believer in business plans
mm-hmm.
for people starting out. There's other folks that I hear out there, write your business plan, and people spend a year writing a business plan.
And that's,
you know,
all.
And that's all that they do. And that's
yeah.
that's crazy to me. We're big believers on one page. Here's my vision, this is what I want to do, here's my strategy that I'm going to go about doing it, and here's my implementation plan, and then I'm going to get an accountability partner. You know, I think accountability is huge, and it's just bulleting out the steps that we discussed and saying this is what I'm going to do weekly, daily, weekly, and monthly to get to where I want to go, and have somebody to share that with you.
The writing it down is essential, but tell me about that you just popped out with accountability partner. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that we've been doing for years, my wife and I. I mean, I'm fortunate I work with my wife, so I have a full-time accountability partner.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
In the other sense, mastermind groups are great when they're used the right way. And this is something where, you know, if you're not familiar with a mastermind group, it doesn't have to be solely people in your industry or your
mm-hmm.
niche. But it's somebody that you can know that you have a meeting with, you know, or two or three people to share what you're doing, what you want to accomplish, and have them hold you accountable and give you an outside perspective on certain things as well. A sounding board, but it's not meant to be story time.
Yeah.
You know, like we used to always cut people off when it's like, oh, how you doing? This is what I did this week. My kids are, that's not what it's about.
Right.
It's about,
right.
Hey, this is what I wanted
what
to accomplish.
What did you say you were going to do? Did
yeah.
you do it? Why not? What are you going to do it next month? Next week.
And how can I help you do it, basically?
And how can that, very importantly, how can I help you? It's interesting you bring up the mastermind group. That is one of my goals for this coming year, is to either put together or put myself into an appropriate mastermind group. So anybody out there who's thinking about it, if you've had some success, I'm going to say if you've had some success and so you have something to offer and you've been setting goals and whatnot, I'd encourage you to put getting a mastermind group on your list of goals for 2013 also.
Absolutely. I mean, let's put it this way. Somebody from a mastermind group that I had 3 years ago. He was a business banker on Long Island, moved over to a bigger international institution, nothing to do with real estate. You know, he was on, you know, business banking. We had a deal come across our desk the other day in which I found out that the note was with this new bank that he was at.
Mm-hmm.
Called him up, you know, 3 years later, hey, buddy, how you doing? You know, can you put me in touch with somebody in your lending department that would be on the multifamily capital side? Within less than 24 hours, he had me on with the loan manager for
wow.
that asset that was with it from day one, and I immediately had clarity on where the deal stood and whether I should spend time on it or not. I mean, that's how those things work, and that ties into relationships, obviously.
Yeah, for sure. Am I cutting you off? Do you have...
No. I had a couple of little tips to just say, you know, to take something away. It's like, just don't overcomplicate what you want to accomplish.
Yeah.
And you have to be fluid in this business, in your planning and in your execution, and realize that you're going to hit roadblocks, and sometimes it's the windy road to get to the end goal. But you have to just be willing to kind of roll with it a little bit, as long as you're focused on the end goal.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we said earlier, small steps lead to big results, and just constantly remind yourself why you want to achieve your goals. And that's going to help get you through those tougher spots and days.
Awesome. So tell me about where somebody can go to learn a bit more.
Sure. It's actually, this is kind of, you know, it sounds cliche, but we did work to have a free report put together just in tune with what we spoke about a little bit. It's called The 7 Steps to Success.
Oh, awesome.
Family.
Okay.
And it's really kind of about what we spoke about, vision, planning, foundation. It's a great, great starter. It's got like note sections, you know, little action items. And you can go ahead and download that for free at investinmultifamilyrealestate.com.
So great.
www.investinmultifamilyrealestate.com. It's a free report. It's great. It'll give you the foundational piece to kind of kickstart you. And, you know, we got some great content emails that come out behind that too for you.
And I'll put a link to that in the post where this goes up and also in the show notes. And I want to thank you for, people don't know, we're recording almost, we're coming up on Christmas here.
Yeah.
It's late at night and you're still hanging out in your office. And so I appreciate you hanging around to do this and coming on. And it's been great having you. And you said everything right this time, Chris.
Well, we're glad to be a part of it, Brecht. And, you know, we always appreciate the opportunity to share with the community however we can.
Okay. Well, awesome, man. Thanks again, and we'll hear from
you
soon.
Thank you, too.
Are you sick and tired of the broker chains and dead ends? Want to find the real deals in today's market? Go now to www.distressedpro.com/mini and sign up for your free 14-part mini course where you'll learn everything you need to know about how to find and qualify the right banks. You'll learn how to know who's selling notes and REO, how to find them, who to contact, and more. Learn more at www.distressedpro.com/MINI. And thanks for listening to the DistressedPro.com Professional Podcast Series.